Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
Praise the Lord. If you take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, in just a moment we're going to be reading verse 26 and then verses 28 through 29 as well. We're continuing our series tonight, Unlimited. Don't miss next week. We're starting a new series called Anxious for Nothing, and there's so much going on in the world that's causing so many people to be stressed and anxious, but the Bible gives us a prescription of how we can worry about nothing. Amen? How many of you want to not have to worry about anything? Amen? So come on out. Invite those people that you know need to hear that message about being anxious for nothing. So that starts next Wednesday evening. Invite your friends and family members. Tonight's message in the series Unlimited is called Cosmic Conflict. Cosmic Conflict. And, you know, superhero movies are very popular in our culture, and the storyline of every one of them focuses on a supervillain whose goal is always world domination, you know? And the fate of the world hangs in the balance as a superhero, whether it's Superman or Batman or whoever it may be, fights and stops the supervillain, and good triumphs over evil in this never-ending cosmic battle. And, of course, you know, these superhero stories, they're fictional stories, but I believe their extreme popularity and prevalence is an expression of the reality that the human soul experiences on a daily basis. This conflict, this battle, this feeling of needing help, but they just don't have the spiritual knowledge to understand what's going on inside of them. And there is a longing in the human heart for a superhuman hero to somehow come and save them from the struggle, from the hardship, from the pain, from the evil in the world. And they just don't know that the real superhuman hero is Jesus. Amen. He is the Savior. He is the deliverer. He is the answer. Amen. And there really is this cosmic conflict being played out in the world. And the world does hang in the balance, and our lives hang in the balance every day. And the reality of this conflict is clearly demonstrated in an episode from the life of Jesus when he set free a demon-possessed man, and the religious leaders accused him of driving out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 26. The scripture says, Jesus had just delivered a demon-possessed man and was accused by the religious leaders of casting out demons by the power of Satan. And then Jesus responds, and he says, if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Verse 28, but if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Hallelujah. There is someone even stronger. Amen. So only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Jesus is that someone who is stronger. Amen. So Jesus clearly states that Satan has a kingdom, and that the kingdom of God is present to oppose and to destroy Satan's kingdom. And as the ministry of Jesus unfolds, it becomes increasingly evident that the sending of Jesus into the world was God's decisive blow against the kingdom of darkness. Jesus has already defeated the devil through his death and resurrection. The war has been won, but the battle continues to be waged in our lives. And that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But I want you to think back to the early 2000s when the U.S. Invaded Iraq and brought down the empire of Saddam Hussein, and they had this awe and shock campaign, and it took place really quick, where they removed Saddam Hussein from power. Yet still, there was a continuing conflict in that region for years afterward, where the U.S. had to keep troops on the ground fighting against insurgents who were opposing the new government that was being formed. And so the war against Saddam Hussein had been won, but the battle continued to be fought. In a similar fashion, Satan is an already defeated foe. His ultimate downfall has already been sealed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and his defeat will be made fully manifest at the second coming of Christ, when Satan and all of his demons will be bound and cast into the abyss. Amen. However, in the meantime, this cosmic conflict continues to be waged in the world and in our lives between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. But as believers, this is the assurance that God gives us in 1 John 5, verses 18 through 19. 1 John 5, verses 18 through 19. The scripture says this: we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and the world around us is under the control of the evil one. The assurance is this: we are the children of God, and because we belong to him, he holds us securely, and the evil one cannot touch us. Amen. So there's two contrasting truths here. We are the children of God. We belong to God. We don't belong to this world. This world, the second truth is, this whole world is under the control of the evil one. So we belong to God. We don't belong to the world. The whole world is under the control of the evil one, but we are still living in this world. Now, there's an amazing statement when he says the whole world is under the control of the evil one, because it talks about the extensive and pervasive influence of Satan in this present world. And if you go through scripture, you find that the Bible reiterates Satan's control using three different titles for Satan that describe his worldwide influence. For instance, in John 12, 31, Jesus calls him the ruler of this world, the ruler of this world, which describes Satan's constant work in the systems of this world, the governments of this world, the politics of this world. And you can really see darkness at work advancing an agenda that is not of God, right? And then in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. So everybody who is not saved, everybody who's living in disobedience, Satan is actively at work in their lives. And it says that he is the prince of the power of the air. And just as air constantly surrounds us, right? Right now you are surrounded by air. You are breathing air. Everywhere you go, you're moving through air. And in the same way, Satan's influence is in the atmosphere of this world. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, you can see his deceiving, evil, and irreverent influence in the thoughts of humankind. You can see it now in education very blatantly. You can see it really clearly in media. You can see it in the art. You can see it in every element of culture, can't you? You can see the works of darkness. And before we came to Christ, we were all dominated by darkness in our own way of thinking. We were all under his influence. And the third title that is attributed to Satan in 2 Corinthians 4:4 is that he is the god of this world. Other versions rightly translate the Greek saying that he is the god of this age. The Greek says aeon, or we know it as eon, but he is the god of this age, which means that he is the god of this time period, this epoch. And what Paul says is that he blinds the minds of those who won't believe so that they are unable to see the glorious truth of the gospel. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and the gospel is just so clear to you? And you can't understand why they can't see it? But it's because Satan has their eyes blinded. That's why witnessing and ministering is a spiritual battle, because you're coming up against the forces of darkness and you have to be prayed up, because it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to break those forces of darkness in the life of an unbeliever. But what we see through these passages of scripture is that Satan has been given a degree of power to rule this world for a time period, an aeon, an epoch. And that time period began with man's act of sinful disobedience in the garden. Why? Because God had given mankind rulership over his creation, right? He gave them dominion, the Bible says. He gave them dominion over the world he had created. But guess what? When they sinned, they abdicated that dominion to Satan. They came under Satan's rule. And so for a time, Satan has been allowed to have dominion over the world, over the earth. He's allowed to rule through the willful disobedience. This is what we see from Ephesians 2, that he's the spirit that is at work in all who are disobedient. So he's allowed to rule in this world through the willful disobedience of mankind. So wherever there's someone living in disobedience to God, Satan is using them as a vessel. We sang earlier, I give my life away. We want God to use us. Everybody who is not saved, who is living in disobedience, Satan is using them to advance his agenda in this world. And of course, you know, we know that God created man with free will and that Adam and Eve and every human being thereafter has chosen to rebel against God. And that's what gives Satan power to rule. However, Satan's rule has an expiration date. Hallelujah. His term of office is coming to an end. Now, in this present time, he is defeated every time someone accepts Christ. Every time someone accepts Christ, it's a blow against the kingdom of darkness. In Acts 26, 18, the writer of Acts describes salvation as turning from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So at salvation, we experience the victory of Christ setting us free. In fact, in Colossians, Paul says, we are delivered from the dominion of darkness, and we are brought into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. So we see that there is a change of rulership when we get saved, right? The kingdom of darkness is defeated in the life of a person who accepts Christ, and we are brought under the rule of Christ. But Satan's defeat will not be fully and ultimately manifest until the second coming of Christ, when Satan and all of his demons and the instruments of his rulership on this earth, such as the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the governments of this world, and everyone who lives in disobedience, will be bound and cast into the abyss. That's what the scripture tells us in Revelation. But in the meantime, we are here on earth and we are living in enemy-occupied territory. And God has called us to advance his kingdom and reclaim the territory that rightly belongs to God. And the conflict of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God that is taking place in the spirit realm is played out in the physical realm, in our lives, in our circumstances, in our country, in the world, every single day. So what's happening in the spirit realm has physical, tangible consequences in the earthly realm in which we live. And we need to understand our role in this conflict and how to live as kingdom people in this world and advance God's kingdom. And there's a couple of principles I want us to see as we look at this topic tonight. First of all, we need to understand that we are fighting from victory, not for victory. All right. We are fighting from victory, not for victory. What do I mean? The devil is already defeated. Amen. He is already defeated. In fact, in Colossians 2:15, the New Living Translation says it this way. In this way, speaking of Jesus, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Wow. He disarmed these spiritual authorities. Well, if you've been disarmed, you don't really have a whole lot of power left. Amen. He disarmed them and made a public display of them through his victory on the cross. So the spirit rulers and authorities that are mentioned here are the same demonic forces that Paul identified in Ephesians 6:12 when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. But here he tells us that through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has disarmed the devil and his demons. He has stripped them of their weapons. And the only way that the enemy has power over us today, or that his demons have power over us today, is because we give them permission. We give them permission. And the number one way we give them permission is when we believe their lies. when we believe their lies. Now, I never watched a popular series called Game of Thrones. Praise God, I never watched it. Hallelujah. But I read about one episode in which the popular character known as the Red Viper was fighting this villainously gargantuan character called the Mountain. And in this epic conflict, the Red Viper gracefully stays out of the Mountain's crushing grip while slicing the Mountain to shreds with his long spear points, which are dipped in the deadliest of poisons. So the villain, the Mountain, lies flat, defeated, and mortally wounded on the ground. But the Red Viper gets careless, and he moves within arm's length of this fallen giant. And the Mountain exercises one last lurch and grabs the Red Viper's neck and kills him as one last act. The Mountain was already dying. He was a completely defeated foe. But it was neglect and carelessness that caused the Red Viper's death. He got careless. He got too close for the dying villain to take one last fatal swipe. And folks, through unbelief and through rebellion, the world remains in the reach of the influence of Satan's deathly grip. Satan is like the Mountain. He's that character, the Mountain. He's already defeated. But if you get within his grip, he can still do a lot of damage to you, right? And though we as Christians have been freed from Satan's power, and 1 John 5:18 says, if we belong to God, we don't keep sinning. He can't keep controlling us and keeping us enslaved to sin. And that God's Son holds us securely and the wicked one cannot touch us. Amen. Now, the word touch here is not just a glancing brush. But in Greek, it's the word haptomai, and it means to fasten oneself to or to hold you in a grip, to seize you and get a hold of you. So Satan can take a swipe at you, but it will be a glancing blow. If we stay in Christ, if we walk in faith, Satan cannot get a hold of us. He cannot get a grip on us. He cannot regain control over us. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. However, if we get careless, we believe the enemy's lies, we disbelieve God's truth, we choose to act in disobedience rather than living according to God's ways, then we are becoming careless like the Red Viper, and we are putting ourselves within the reach of Satan's destructive grip. We're putting ourselves within his reach. But as followers of Christ, if we remain steadfast in our faith, if we strive to live by God's word and regularly confess and repent of our sins when we fail, we can be confident in God's protection. Jesus will hold us secure, and the evil one cannot lay a hold of us. Hallelujah. So Satan's an already defeated foe. But secondly, we have the overwhelming victory. The overwhelming victory. Romans 8:37. No, despite all these things, Paul has just listed a bunch of different trials, right? And then he says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I want you to focus on that. Overwhelming victory. It's not a victory where you just barely survive and you're just barely breathing, you know, because you're all beat up. No, it's overwhelming victory.
That's right.
And it is ours through Christ.
Yeah.
Joseph Prince writes, God does not need you to defeat the devil today. Jesus has already done it and given you the victory. Amen. Satan's an already defeated foe. Overwhelming victory is, present tense, is ours. Victory, we used to sing a song today. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Victory today is mine. I probably didn't sing it right. I probably slaughtered it. But I used to love that song, amen? Because sometimes we just got to tell Satan, no, not today, devil. You are defeated. Victory today is mine. Hallelujah. But you know what? The devil is a master of deception. And he wants to make you feel defeated when in reality, he is the one who is already defeated. Amen. He wants to make you feel like a loser when he's already lost. Praise the Lord. So when Satan attacks your health and he's there whispering in your ear, you're sick, you're never going to get better, God's not going to hear you, God's not going to heal you, you're going to die. Sickness has already been defeated on the cross. That's why the scripture says that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. It's already done. That sickness is already defeated. Amen. And you're sitting there listening to that and you say, oh, but pastor, the doctor said this, that, and the other. Who are you going to believe, the doctor or Jesus? We sing a song too. I won't sing it for you. I won't torture you with that. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. He says, I'm healed. And that's what I'm going to believe. Amen. Oh, but pastor, you don't know what my body feels like. What you going to believe? You're going to believe your feelings or you're going to believe your faith? All right. Sickness is a defeated foe. God says you were healed by the stripes of Jesus. So the victory, the healing is already won. So you are fighting not for your healing, but you are fighting from a position of victory. Healing is already yours. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. In Romans 4:17, Paul cites the fact that God said, Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you. God declared it as though it was already done when, as of yet, Abraham didn't have a son. And God said this when Abraham was 99 and his wife was 90 and both of their bodies were old and unable to conceive a child. But God said, Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. He said, it's already done. It's already accomplished. And the moment that God decreed it, it was already accomplished. I want you to get this in your spirit. The moment God decrees something, it's as good as done. It's already accomplished. Amen. It's already accomplished. Abraham simply needed to believe and receive it. Believe and receive it. That verse continues and says, this happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Hallelujah. Abraham had faith to say, God, you are able to create something out of nothing. And so out of the deadness of Sarah's womb and the deadness of my body, you are able to call forth life. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Whatever situation you are facing, however impossible it may seem, have faith in God. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory. The victory is already yours. Jesus has already won the victory for you. All you have to do is enforce that victory in your life, in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in your emotions. Hallelujah. And how do you enforce it? You enforce it through faith. You enforce it through believing the word of God. You enforce it through standing firm in your commitment in Christ. Amen. Satan wants you believing you are defeated when he is the one who is defeated. Overwhelming victory is yours through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Another principle I want us to see is that we must expose the darkness with the light. This is our responsibility. Reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 13. Paul says, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. He didn't say just keep silent. Don't participate and keep silent. No, he said expose them. Expose them. Verse 13. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. That's the light of the way that we live. We are called to be light in the midst of darkness, right? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So our lives should be the light that exposes darkness. Have you ever been you know, at work, I remember when I worked a secular job and I didn't go around telling people, oh, don't curse, oh, don't do this in front of me. But oftentimes they would start out telling something that was not appropriate conversation. And they would turn to me and they would say, I'm sorry, Maria. I know you don't like these kind of things. Not because I said it. They just knew because of the light of the life that I was living. And it was exposing so that they felt a conviction in that moment. Amen? And that's how it ought to be. Not because we go around holier than thou and thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not curse and thou shalt not tell off-color jokes. No, but they see the purity of the light of the way you're living your life. And they start doing something evil and that light shines and it makes them feel convicted. That's how we ought to live. The Word of God ought to also expose the darkness, the truth of God's Word. And that's why we have to speak the truth of God's Word. And we have to preach the truth of God's Word so it will expose the darkness. He says, their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. Have you ever noticed demons like to do their work in secret? Satan likes to work under the cover of darkness to accomplish his goals.
Yes,
and one of the main reasons that the devil and his demons are so effective is that they're able to go about their business undetected.
Yeah.
Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. When you're blinded, what are you doing? You're living in darkness. You can't see. And it says so that they cannot see the light of God's truth. They can't see that they're under Satan's control or that they're on a path to destruction. They can't see the glorious light of the good news of Jesus Christ. They can't because they're blinded. When you're in darkness, you cannot see. Jesus said in John 3, verses 19 through 20, God's light came into the world. Speaking of Jesus, he's the light. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light. Because their actions are evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be, there's that word again, exposed. So when a person is under Satan's influence and control, they are walking in darkness, they are blinded, and they avoid the light for fear that their sin will be exposed. So how does that translate? They avoid church. You invite them to, oh, no, if I went there, the ceiling would cave in. You ever heard somebody say that to you? Amen. They avoid Christians. I had a cousin, and I had witnessed to my family when we first moved to the South Florida area, and I had witnessed to my family and what have you. And one of the things I had talked to them was about the return of Christ, and I have a cousin that's about my age. We were teens at that time. And so she wanted to contact my sister. It was pre-cell phone days, okay? And so she wanted to contact my sister to go out with my sister because my sister was not serving the Lord. But she was afraid to get me on the phone because she was afraid that I would tell her something about Jesus. So she had her father call our house, asked for my sister, and once my sister got on the phone, then he would hand the phone to her. But what she later said was that she was afraid because I had told her about the coming of Jesus and she wasn't ready and she didn't want me to tell her anything else about it because she was afraid. What was happening? See, the light was exposing the darkness. And so she wanted to avoid the light. She wanted to avoid the light. And so a lot of people are like that. They'll avoid church. They'll avoid Christians. Anything that might expose the darkness. They'll avoid conversations about the truth of God's word, right? Like the woman at the well, Jesus starts getting to the heart of the matter in her life, and she changes the conversation to religion, right? She says, oh, but you worship in Jerusalem, and we worship in Mount Gerizim, you know? And so she immediately changes the conversation to religion. Because you know what? We can deal with religion. Religion is impersonal. But when we're talking about truth and it exposing the darkness in our life, now that's getting personal. So a lot of times you start talking to somebody about Jesus and they turn the conversation. They want to get into some kind of religious debate with you. Have you ever had that happen? Amen. Why? Because they want to avoid the light of God's truth. Satan keeps them bound in darkness so that he can continue to work in their lives undiscovered. The devil and his demons, they want to be left alone to do their destructive deeds unhindered. For instance, in Luke 4, verses 33-34, Jesus was ministering in Capernaum, and he encountered a demon-possessed man in the synagogue. And the demon cried out, "Leave us alone." The devil wants to be left alone in people's lives, amen? Because he wants to continue to do his work unexposed. But we cannot and must not leave the devil alone to do his work unexposed. We are called to expose the darkness with the light. Jesus is the light of the world. The Word of God is the light. We are called to be the light of the world. So we must preach Jesus. We must live Jesus. We must teach the truth of God's Word. We must teach the truth about Satan, his strategies. We must teach the truth about sin. You don't hear a lot preached about sin today. In fact, the message is so watered down that nothing is sin nowadays.
That's right.
But we need to preach the truth. We need to expose the works of darkness. We need to expose Satan and his activity so that he cannot go about his destructive work undetected in lives. We must proclaim deliverance to the oppressed. We must set free those who are captive in the authority of Jesus' name. In Mark 6:13, Jesus and his disciples cast out many demons. The scripture says they cast out many demons. And why did they cast out many demons? Because many demons were present. Many demons were present and at work in the lives of people that were attending Jesus' meetings. Even when he held his meetings in synagogues, there were people, Jewish people, in synagogues that had demonic presence at work in their lives. Now, let me tell you this. If there was a lot of demons at work in the lives of people in Jesus' day, I would dare say that there are at least as many demons at work today, because the devil and his demons have not yet been bound and cast into the abyss. They're not on vacation. They have not retired. They are still at work 24/7. And let me tell you, there are still so many people sitting on church pews, just like there were people in synagogues back then. There are so many people sitting on church pews who are struggling with sins that they can't get free from. They have controlling habits, sinful habits in their life, sexual immorality, addiction to porn, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs. They have strongholds of darkness in their life. And it's why so many marriages among church people are struggling. Why? Because of the demonic activity that is in the lives of people, even people sitting on church pews.
Go ahead, Pastor. Keep it real, Mr.
And it's why so many go to church and are still unable to live victorious lives of righteousness and holiness and serve God's purpose in ministry, because the enemy still has a stronghold in their lives. And that's why we have to expose and cast out the works of darkness with the light of God's word and with the power of the Holy Spirit. A part of Jesus' mandate in coming into this world was that he was sent to destroy the works of darkness. And he has passed on that mandate to us. Wherever Jesus sent out his followers, he commanded them not only to preach the gospel, but to heal the sick and to deliver those who were oppressed by demons. Let me tell you something. Being oppressed does not necessarily mean that you are possessed, but it does mean that there is the activity of Satan in somebody's life. And they need to be set free. And some of those people are sitting on church pews Sunday after Sunday. And our message is not a message in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit to set captive souls free and to bring healing and restoration to lives. Folks, souls are at stake. The lives of our loved ones, our families, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, they are blinded by Satan. They are bound by sin, and they are being broken by Satan's destructive powers. But we know the answer. It's not Superman, it's not Batman, it's not Spider-Man, but it is a superhuman, and his name is Jesus. Amen. He is the real superhero that the people of this world are longing for to save them from the destructive forces of darkness that they are experiencing, even if they don't know it. Jesus has already conquered Satan. Satan was the supervillain. And Jesus has conquered him, and he has given us the overwhelming victory so that Satan has no power over us. And Jesus has given us the authority to expose the devil and his work and to set free those whom the enemy has taken captive with the light of his word and with the power of the Holy Spirit. But we must fast, we must pray, we must worship, we must intercede, we must walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, asserting the kingdom of God here on earth wherever we go, waging war against the kingdom of darkness and defeating the enemy's work in the lives of our family, our friends, our co-workers, and our neighbors. So as we conclude this service tonight, I want you right now to picture somebody in your mind that is under the power of darkness, that Satan has a controlling influence in their lives. Picture that person. And then I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to stand in the gap, and I want you to pray for them, intercede for them, that the chains of darkness will be broken over their lives, that the blinders would be stripped from their eyes, and that the light of God's truth would penetrate into their hearts. Lift up your voice. Don't let me be the only one praying. It's when two or three agree. Lift up your voice and let us intercede. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God. And Father, we are just standing upon the authority of your word, that Satan is an already defeated foe, Lord God. And Father, we take the authority that is ours in Jesus' name, and we come against the forces of darkness that are active and at work in the lives of our family members, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. Lord, we lift them specifically right now. We're calling somebody by name right now, and we're lifting them on the altar before you, and we pray right now in Jesus' name, let the chains of darkness that have kept them bound be broken. Father, we pray right now that you would strip away the blinders from their eyes that have prevented them from receiving the truth and seeing the light of the gospel. Father, we pray that your truth would begin to penetrate their heart and their mind, that they would receive the light of your word, Lord God, and that they might respond in faith. Father, we are lifting them before you. We are asking you in the name of Jesus, set them free, Lord God. Set them free for your glory and honor. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Keep praying for them, keep interceding, and keep being a light that exposes the darkness. Amen. God bless you all so much. Thank you for joining us tonight. I hope the service was a blessing. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.